on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Welcome back to the program. This is Upfront News Talk 1310 WIBA. Sitting to my right and then across from me, I have Maya Cole and Lucy Mathiak, both running for their respective school board seats. Maya's running against Arlene Silvera and Lucy running against Juan Lopez. And we're going to, the reason I have you both in here together is because I think you're of similar minds with the idea that the board needs to be more honest with people. The administration needs to be more transparent with people. We all need a lot more information, and we need a lot more accountability. So I'm gonna let Maya jump in first. Maya, nice feature there in the Capital Times. Cute picture, you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is yesterday's Capital Times. You want to read the world's funniest quote from Michael Jacob of Progressive Dane. But let's just talk about the issues that that I just, you know, quickly touched on. Accountability, transparency, things that seem to be lacking on the board right now.
Well, you know, in the city, I'm not allowed to say that word, that A word.
The A word?
That gets me in trouble.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You can't say accountability.
Wait, I'm in Fitchburg. So we're in Fitchburg.
Oh, okay.
So go ahead and say the A word.
Yeah, accountability is a good place to start. I think that before we talk about referendums or building schools or whatever the issues are, we need to gain the trust of the public. And the school board has lost that trust time and time again. So that's one of my main issues.
Carol Carstensen does not think the board has lost the trust, apparently. Let me just read you a quote from the Fate of the Schools article today in the Isthmus Magazine, a Jason Shepherd article. When I look back at how far we've come, Carol says, in a number of areas, despite the budget constraints and significant demographic changes, which reads like she's making excuses, I think we're doing a far better job than I would have believed we could do. This, to me, says we're doing okay. We're doing just fine. Just let us muddle along and do just fine, and we'll have the voters time and time again reject out of hand those referenda we proposed to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me that what she's really saying is that I actually know that things aren't quite so okay, but if I talk long enough about how it's really not a problem, you'll believe me.
Yeah. Well, actually, we've heard this sort of rhetoric before coming out of the board is that I think we've done a nice job on this. She has another quote in today's Isthmus article. School board president Carol Carstensen warns. Now, I mean, talking about Ruth Robarts, who is one of the people, along with Lori Cubs, who calls for accountability and transparency. Hey, there's two of them so far. Warns that it will be very difficult for the administration to function if Robarts, for example, or somebody like her were calling the shots. I think that was a side swipe at you two.
Well, it could be. As far as I can tell, we've had some very anxious people in this town over this dangerous situation that you have right in your studio, which is one Lucy Mathiak running for seat two and one Maya Cole running for seat one, actually in the same space thinking. As far as I can tell, should both of us be elected, Western civilization, as we know, will end.
I know it.
And I think we should all be forewarned. The number of odd, you hear the oddest things when you start running for public office. And I have to say that the questions about, well, what do you think will happen if you and Maya are elected? Always sound like, you know, we've got our finger on the nuclear button.
it's an itchy trigger finger.
Very itchy.
You know, it's shaking and you just might hit it, for example, then actually demand that the administration start the budgeting process of the administrative contracts in a way that is actually better for the taxpayers, actually have it maybe, I don't know, crazily coincide with the way the board does the operating budgets, because right now the way we do our budgets is a problem because, frankly, we have the budget done. We don't even know how much money we're going to have, and the administrators are already taken care of. We can't go back if, in fact, we have some budget constraints and deal with the administration
anyway.
Actually,
we sort of could with parts of it. What's happened the last several years is that the people from Doyle, and please excuse me, I have a head cold that's really sort of getting to my throat. But the last several years, the people from Doyle have said, we can't cut administrators because there's a February 1st deadline. And so the first time I heard this, they had missed the deadline. Oops. And then there was this sort of discussion among the board majority about how we really shouldn't talk about it anyway because people will feel bad. then
who cares if they feel bad?
Well, one of the things they're not talking about is how jolly the teachers are and the custodians and all the other folks who they don't seem to have any problem cutting,
right,
you know, year after
the
year.
Administrators.
These are the administrators. Mm-hmm. Then Lori Cubs pushed the issue last year, and they considered the administrative contracts at the last minute, literally at something like 10 o'clock at night, the night before February 1st. This year, Lori, God bless her, said, could you show me where it says in district policy that we have to do this by February 1st? Well, it turns out there's no law. There's no district policy. There was no requirement whatsoever. They could have been considering administrative contracts all the way into April like any other position. And they had been...
Well, glory be.
How about that? You know, and that's the sort of thing that's just
if a woman like Lori or Ruth, or God forbid, a woman like either of you two actually got onto the board in any, and we actually had four instead of two, more of these little nuggets of information might be coming forth to the taxpayers. And frankly, I think the taxpayers in Madison are willing to pony up more money. I just don't think they're willing to pony up more money if they think that somehow there's some kind of scam going on behind the scenes. And we don't have transparency, and nobody wants to put programs up to be audited to have the programs be accountable. Are they working? Are they not working? Or the administrators, or frankly some of the other positions that are there, or frankly the teachers' union contracts. I mean, that does not sit well with the taxpayers. Then they say, well, hang on. How come you need more money? Give us a good reason why you absolutely have cut to the marrow.
Well, and that goes back to this whole issue of transparency. If voters are going to keep voting for these referendums, and the public, the general public, is going to support public schooling, then we need to have administration and a district that is transparent. Everyone demands that. I don't see, I almost think that instead of running for public office, Lucy and I could become fortune tellers, because you can almost predict exactly what the school board's going to do every year when it comes to budget.
Let me think, because there's already another budget crunch coming your way, $8 million. Mm-hmm. Let me think. Raise fees for school sports.
There you go.
Cut back on extracurricular activities. Mm-hmm. Lay off some teachers. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we're not doing anything else to see if we can find efficiencies. Do we have a top-heavy administration? Are we getting the best bang for our buck? I mean, if we are doing everything possible to make the system efficient, which is difficult to expect, it's a government entity, and people will say, okay, I don't want you to cut this particular teacher. But at some point, sometimes you're going to have to, simply because... you've tapped out the taxpayer. And that's something the board, I don't think, really understands. They try to find a way to resell the message. That's what we keep hearing. The board wants to resell the referendum message. Well, guess what? Maybe that's not the best plan. Maybe find out why the taxpayers told you to stick it on two or three referenda. Maybe find out exactly, maybe you've got some people who absolutely cannot afford, even though it's only, according to the board, $159 or $167 additional on your tax bill.
Right, well, that's not the point. The $159 is not the point. The point is that we have to be honest with the public.
Well, and the $159, a lot of times you're not honest with the public anyway about what those referendum are going to cost, simply because nobody bothers to calculate that school aid formula into the numbers. Mm-hmm. So, nobody thinks that, we're going to have to kick it another 60 cents on the dollar, though. We had some fun with that last spring.
Yeah.
That was a good... Back in the good old days of last spring. We got to take a quick break. Maya Cole and Lucy Mathiak, my guests. Of course, your phone calls are welcome at 321-1310 or toll-free 877-235-1310. And check out Jason Shepherd's piece in the Isthmus this week. This is Upfront. Mathiak and Maya Cole both running for school board. Maya's running against Arlene Silvera, and Lucy running against Juan Lopez. Juan Jose Lopez. He used to just be Juan Lopez. Juan Jose Lopez. So you're running for a seat that's currently being held right now. You're running, Lucy, you're running for an open seat. Maya. Okay, Dwayne is on the line. Dwayne, you're on News Talk 1310.
Hey, ladies. I'd like to go back just a little bit. You talked about the February 1st contract date that was bandied about for a couple of years. So after it became obvious that that was not a truism, were there any repercussions for the people that had been holding that date out there as important?
Not yet.
Will there be? Well, unless the nature of the board changes, no. No.
But how can you believe the other information that you're getting from whoever provided that to you?
Well, that's a great question, Dwayne. That's the problem with this administration. If the taxpayers feel like they're being snowed, that the information is not either not honest or not enough of it's there.
Well, I don't think snowed is what it is. You're being lied to. That's a little bit stronger, I think.
Okay, you say that, Dwayne. I'm not going to say it. I'll get in trouble again.
No, Maya, you can get in trouble. It's Fitchburg. Remember, we're inside the city limits of Fitchburg. You're safe here.
Yeah.
I know you live in Madison and you have to go home at some point.
Right.
But we'll get you some cars. Don't worry about it.
Police in Kevlar.
That's a great question, though. I mean, here you know that the essentially, that was somebody came up with a bogus date, an arbitrary bogus date, for reasons that haven't been explained. And will they be held accountable? No, not unless something changes on April 4th and you tip the balance of the board. And that's what needs to happen. You need to actually elect two more people to tip the balance of the board. No. And is anybody going to, bother to figure out a way to punish somebody or try to come up with some sort of sanction? No, it's not going to happen either. Not unless the nature of the board changes.
Well, and Vicki, I think we're in a situation right now where you have a lot of school boards that are, bantering around the words accountability. And it actually serves the community. It serves the education of kids to have some accountability. I say this over and over again. We test the kids every year. They have to be held accountable. The teachers are held accountable. But for some reason, the administration is not held accountable. And if we would have an administration that would welcome that feedback, we could actually be more efficient and perhaps educate more kids. And that's what's so frustrating, is that when I got into this, I had less experience than Lucy in years as far as dealing with this board. But everything that I've read, everything that I've studied, all the people I've talked to that have served on school boards say that accountability, welcoming feedback, not allowing the central offices to kind of control everything, and that's, we're doing the exact opposite in Madison.
You're talking about welcoming accountability and making the administration, have to answer to somebody. Right now, school board president Carol Carstensen, who sits with the majority on the board right now, frankly, is saying it would be very difficult if ladies like you were elected to the school board. It would be very difficult for the administration. Well, good. That's what you want. I mean, the administration is not supposed to be coddled and have their hands held on things and never be asked the tough questions. Lori Cubsa asked a tough question, and look at the answer she got. How shocking. I don't think a lot of people knew that, frankly. Jim, you're on News Talk 1310. You're on with Maya Cole and Lucy Mathiak. Jim. Did we lose Jim? Jody, you're on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Hi, this is Jody.
Hi, Jody.
Good afternoon. I just have some questions, and I'll sit back and listen to the answers. One is wondering why it sounds like plans for the addition to Leopold are going ahead, even though the voters voted it down. Secondly, why didn't Governor Doyle funnel money through the budget into the school system against the taxpayers' wishes? And third, hasn't he been dipping into the Wisconsin Focus on Energy Fund, which is a taxpayer fund for energy savings, and been using that for his own purposes, including the school board?
All right, let's start with Leopold. And which one of you would like to go get to Leopold?
I can speak to that a little bit, because I was on a citizen advisor to long-range planning last year, right before the referendum. And last year, what was being pushed very, very heavily was, they called it, in addition, it was essentially another full school, which would have expanded the Leopold site to an elementary school of around 1,200 kids, 1,150, something like that, with a very high proportion of low-income kids, which is not a good plan. What's being proposed now is not that same plan. It's much smaller. We're talking about 8 classrooms, which would relieve some of the space pressures now, but cost a lot less and not be the same grand plan that was wheeled out last year.
However, if you're going to make an addition to a school, one would assume that the taxpayers would have a say in that. One also wonders why some of these space problems can't be dealt with temporary classrooms, frankly, which don't look like they used to. They don't look like old, junky, tin can...
Quonset huts
or our dog houses or RVs from the 1960s. And true, I think that's what people have in their head about temporary classrooms. But, I mean, these are things the district could purchase at a fairly low cost, deal with the problem, find out if, in fact, it's a permanent problem or one that's going to be temporary. It's going to be a bubble and then settle out. And then perhaps we're going to have another crunch and another development zone in the city of Madison, and they're going to be available for the use to other schools as well. I mean... Is it optimal? I'm not sure, but at the very least, it's efficient, and it's not what these things used to be. They're not these wind-blown tin cans.
Well, I think that's a very good question, and this came up at one of our forums. And, in fact, what we are told is that, theoretically, the temporary classrooms don't meet city building codes. Now, I would say trust but verify, because... In my experience, what the district says about city codes and city regulations doesn't necessarily match the reality. So we don't know the answer to that.
There are also a multitude of different styles. I mean, I can't imagine that you can't find one that would meet city building code standards. I'm sorry, I just can't fathom. Believe it or not, there's some competition in that marketplace, so I suspect you might just want to shop around a bit. We do have to take a quick break. Your calls are welcome at 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. This is Upfront.
As always.
All righty, getting to the phones now. Serious discussions. Maya Cole, Lucy Mathiak, who are both candidates for the school board. I've got Kevin on the line. Kevin, you're on News Talk 1310. Thanks for holding through.
You bet. Well, I don't know how serious this is. I'm actually going to pitch a softball one out there to the ladies, if they don't mind. Where can I get yard signs? And actually, I've got a couple other people out here in Fitchburg interested in the same thing.
Yards? Do you have yard signs? Do you have the yard sign that I thought Lucy should do? I love Lucy. Simple.
Oh, that would be so safe.
That would be perfect.
I was thinking more of the status quo must go, but...
I like that, too. Now, do you ladies have yard signs available?
I do have yard signs, and I would be delighted to deliver them to anybody who wants them.
Okay, who should I contact?
Well... You probably don't want to give out your address on the
No, no, no. That sounds like a bad idea as far as over the airwaves.
Do you have an email address where you can be contacted?
Yeah,
I do, and I can give you that offline.
Well, now send me an email. Anybody who wants a yard sign can send me an email.
At?
Lucy M.
Mm-hmm.
L-U-C-Y-M at charter.net.
Okay.
All right. You got it, Kevin?
And
Maya?
What about Maya?
Kevin, you're going to have to make up your own sign because we just ran out of signs.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is really exciting, but I liked your idea. The status quo must go. So if you make a sign like that, I promise that I will go take a photo of it and post it on my website.
Post it on your website.
Yes.
All right. Because actually I have a few too many AS signs in my neighborhood here.
Oh, okay.
You need to do something. Yeah, big fat Sharpie marker
that.
Will help you out on that
well,
one.
Well, see, yes. What you're finding out is that I'm actually pretty frugal, and I'm not a
big fan. And I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. Wait a minute. So Maya's saying she's cheap.
No. She's frugal.
Frugal.
I never told you.
Hey, nothing wrong with being cheap, ladies and gentlemen. I am cheaper than they come.
Well, if you look at the difference in our signs, you know, I'll do a little pop psychology. We've got the Maya Cole with the apple, pretty simplicity, you know, just vote for me for school board. And then you have the AS signs that look like a PR firm has spent quite a bit of money getting them designed. They don't really look like the sign I would have picked for...
Maya had her kids draw the apple.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Well, you know, there was a Bill Keys quote that was on the morning show on Vicky's station there about a year and a half ago that was so good that I wrote it down the minute he said it. And that is that most people have the misconception that money is finite. I wrote it down the instant he said it because I could not believe that would come out of somebody's
mouth. Don't they understand that there is an endless supply of money
in
the pockets
of the
taxpayers? Thank you for the call, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All righty. All right, take care. Don, you're on News Talk 1310 WIBA. Hello. Did we lose Don?
No, I'm here.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
To wake up my... Oh, it's Don Severson.
Thank you.
Active Citizens for Education.
Thank you.
Don.
Hi. I have a question about trust. it doesn't seem to me like the majority of the school board even trusts the public, the taxpayers, the voters, because a message was sent with the defeat of referendum last spring, and the majority of this board seems to be bent on building and building. But, you know, the trust is that now they have a plan to consider Monday night to self-fund, self-bond, in addition to Leopold School, and pay for that over 10 years out of operating money, which they're already short $8 million of. And the statements have been made by the board and the administration that then we can fold that into a referendum later.
So not ask for a specific addition from the taxpayers, and we were talking about this, touched on this briefly in the break before the news. Not ask for an addition from the taxpayers because you ask for too much. You ask for an operating budget referendum. You ask for a school building referendum. You ask for a maintenance referendum. Hard to sell three of them. This way, you'd only have to sell one.
Well, you don't even have to sell that. Just do it, and then later, when you want to build more or build another school, then fold that into that referendum, and as one
or you could fold it into an operating budget increase.
Well, yeah, but one of the board members said that sounds like blackmail to me, and I agree.
So, I mean, how did that go over with the board?
Well, it didn't faze them at all.
Because I don't want to go back to that Bill Keyes quote. Because they know that right now there's a sensibility among taxpayers right now that things are tight, that the board has asked for a lot, that they're not living within their means, frankly, and that there is this sort of perception, like Kevin's last call, quoting Bill Keyes, that people seem to think that money is a finite resource. And in fact, it really is. But sometimes the board seems to behave openly as if it is not.
Yeah, well, let's say it would be legitimate, and I don't know that it is. But let's say it's legitimate to build an addition on the Leopold. But how in the world do you build trust and transparency when you go try to do it back doors?
Well, you can't.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don. We appreciate it. We'll be back one last break with Maya Cole and Lucy Mathiank. If you want to get in on the phones at 321-1310 or toll free 877-235-1310. This is Upfront.
Hey.
And welcome back. We have got time for one more break with Maya and Lucy, who likes the music. She likes the bump music. All right, before we get to the discussion real quickly, we're going to touch again on the Leopold situation and something that's coming up on April 3rd that everybody needs to know about. First, let's have Phyllis ask her question. Hi, Phyllis.
Oh, hi. I just don't quite understand. Leopold is in Fitchburg, right?
Right. Yeah.
And they have another school that's part of Verona. Like, why don't they want to have these schools be their own schools?
Well, I think that's one of the big questions in all of this debate, and I think it's one of the problems that's facing the district. We're talking about Leopold as if it's in this its own little special world, and in fact, it's part of a much larger pattern of urban growth. Hmm. And so to talk about adding on to that building without engaging in discussion with Fitchburg, Verona, Oregon, all of the areas that are really seeing this expansion doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
We're talking about Band-Aid solutions for what is a very complicated problem about housing and educational resources. And at a time when, if I'm not mistaken, the mayor of Fitchburg has raised the issue of Fitchburg having its own school system.
Oh.
Swan Creek has petitioned to go to the Oregon district. It's not entirely clear who should be educating the children in these new divisions, but we really need to treat it as a regional problem, not just a Madison school district problem.
One thing I remember hearing Rainwater on one of his many, you know, things, he said, we will never give up those students.
Yep, it's sort of odd. I mean, and
I might not have the choice.
I went through a different version of this when we voted to reopen Lapham many years ago because I've come from the Marquette side of the isthmus, and there were parents who were upset because they felt like they were kidnapping children from the Marquette side to legitimize reopening Lapham.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same sort of mentality of these are our kids, and by God, we're not, you know, mm-hmm. we're going to hold them hostage for as long as we need to get whatever
yeah,
we want.
That's a good point. And you know what? But, you know, you have also the district parents or the neighborhood parents who are going along with that as well. So you have, I mean, it's kind of you're getting stuck in between a squeeze play between the parents and the administration. Parents, of course, want bigger schools, more classrooms, and the administration is, with a wink and a nod, saying we support what they say. And then they're saying that they're doing the will of the parents and the will of the taxpayers, even though, like you mentioned, this is not just simply a Madison problem. And frankly, who knows what it's going to look like in 5 years or in 10 years.
But that's the time frame we need to be looking at. And the other piece is that I know a lot of Fitchburg parents. I go to church in Fitchburg, even though I live in Madison. And, you know, let's remember that Fitchburg did defeat the referendum last year. It was not something that, this is not Fitchburg versus Madison. And there were parents who voted among the voters who said no to the Leopold addition. They want sensible solutions, not the politically expedient solutions.
And that's a good point. Now, before we go, because we're about to run out of time, you said something's coming up on April 3rd. What is going on April 3rd? You're saying that the board finally gets information on the personnel?
Tell me
this real quickly, yeah.
We have a budget cycle that typically by March the board is starting to get some preliminary numbers on the budget and the personnel allocations for the coming year. They haven't seen it yet. And it looks to me, and as I understand it, on April 3rd the administration is going to send the allocations out to the schools to tell principals how many positions they'll have next year. So this is essentially when they learn how many people they're going to be losing. Now, the board hasn't seen it. The principals have some whisperings. And the interesting piece is that, if I'm not mistaken, MTI has known how many positions are likely to be cut since earlier this week.
So MTI got a heads up on it, but the board did not. And this is coming
from
the administration.
That's what it sounds like.
So why is the administration working so closely, so tightly, so seemingly happily with MTI? It seems a little cozy for me.
Well, I can see that. If you were about to cut some positions, you'd give people a head up. It's the part where the board isn't in the loop that bothers me.
Right. And it's the part that there might have been some negotiation going on as well.
Right, and that's the thing that I always come back to. You know, if MTI and the administration want to have a cozy relationship, that's fine. That's up to them. But it's really the board's responsibility to the voters, to the citizens, to hold them accountable, to be the watchdog. Who else is going to be the watchdog? And, you know, for a city like Madison to just let this go, it's really surprising to me. And I just hope that voters can go to our websites and see that that we're two women that are going to stand up and not take it.
Yeah, I mean, the Madison, the home of the Freedom of Information request.
Exactly.
And transparency in government. Quickly, Maya, what's your website?
www.votemaya.com.
And Lucy?
www.votemathiak.com.
All right, Vote Maya, Vote Mathiak. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Vicki.
Thanks.
Everywhere you look, you'll see